This episode of the Nerd Up Podcast made possible in part by Eagle Theater. Visit them online at eagletheater.net. And by Classic Hits WTYE. Listen online at WTYEFM.com and made possible by proud supporters just like you. Intermission is over, and it's time to intermingle at the Eagle. Eagle Theater is thrilled to once again be bringing you the free Summer Kids Movie Series. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, June 8th through August 4th, bring the kiddos for some great kid-friendly fun. Doors open at 9:15. Adults are free when accompanied by a child. Seats are first come, first served. State COVID guidelines will be followed. It's the free Summer Kids Movie Series at Eagle Theater in Robinson. Learn more at Eagle Theater.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm your host, Guilty Wilson, along with the co-host and co-anchor,
Tony Collins.
And Ed McMahon.
And your Robin, the Robin to your nipple Batman.
That's right. I want to be the Val Kilmer Batman. That's all there is to it. In the studio with us, it's rare that we can say in the studio now that we have the Nerd
Up
Podcast.
Yeah, we actually
studio.
Have a podcast studio.
Yeah, that's cool. But we've only had, she's only the second guest here in the studio.
Right.
The rest have had phone or Skype or whatever, but we have Kelsa with the Eagle Theater and a name, so we're just going to go with Kelsa.
Yeah.
And besides, that's the way all people know her as Kelsa.
Exactly. So, that's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. Winona, Cher, Kelsa, Gil. No, that doesn't work. Sorry.
Prince.
Prince. Yeah, that's right.
The artist formerly known as Kelsa.
But anyway, we got Kelsa with the Eagle Theater, one of the proud sponsors of the podcast. And we thought, well, you know what? Post-COVID, let's talk about what they had to do to struggle. As an independent, we've talked to independent filmmakers. We've talked to independent artists and comic book makers. Let's talk to an independent movie theater chain person. And that's Kelsa, who runs the Eagle Theater here in Robinson. Okay, so I guess all independent theater chains basically had a little bit better than some of the big chain theaters. You know, there were rumors last year of like some of the big names, AMC, Cinemark, you know, going out of business, going right. As even here in Robinson. They said, well, let's see what we can do. They offered. So if you're going to go home and watch a movie because you were stuck at home anyway, you could get some real movie theater popcorn and sodas. And also they did the drive-in. So they were creative in coming up with these ideas. And so we said, we need to bring Kelsa in here and find out what all they did do, because what we saw was probably a lot less hectic than what they had to go through. So first of all, Kelsa, welcome
yes,
to the podcast.
Thank you.
And how are you surviving now that...
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend helped, definitely, with Quiet Place 2 and Cruella.
Oh, yeah.
And now that capacity limits are at 6 Illinois, that helps a lot. We're still doing the social distancing in the auditoriums, reserve seating, all of that. But yeah, it's been a weird year.
Really?
Everyone says it, but like the background stuff of just between studios and state mandates, and then we have another organization, NATO, the National Association of Theater Owners, that sets another set of rules for us.
Oh.
So we're under state mandates, federal mandates, and then NATO mandates. So there's just a lot. So anytime you see all these extra rules, it's just we're doing everything we can to keep our doors open
right.
through the entire thing as much as we were allowed to.
Right.
And I'm sure you guys here at the theater on a local level were catching a lot of hell from
yes.
the customers who were just angry at you, even though it really wasn't up to you.
Yeah, because we definitely enforced the mask policy just as young, and we didn't quite know what was happening. And we have a lot of older customers who come in, too. So we're trying to keep both ends of the spectrum protected as much as we could and prevent any outbreak from sitting in a room with strangers for 2 hours. That wasn't
right.
exactly advised at the time,
mm-hmm.
which is our entire premise. So we're like, okay, anything we can do to prevent an outbreak in our area is going to be what we do. Like, you know, I know Walmart, you know, enforced what they could everywhere it tried, but on a local level, we had to enforce it to be able to keep our doors open.
Right.
Well, now, I think one of the brilliant things that you guys did, and Gil alluded to it in the intro there, was you became a de facto drive-in.
Yeah.
As a way to still be able to show some movies.
Yeah, we learned a lot. So the studios basically pulled all the content, all the new releases last year, And so as far as, okay, well, we'll do a drive-in. Well, anytime you publicly show a movie, you still have to do a fee to play it and give the studio a cut and everything. And it was really weird, you know, unprecedented, of course. But, like, the studios were kind of giving you a little bit of leeway, like, okay, we'll only take this much from you, because they knew it was really bad. But they were struggling, too. Like, even the call centers that we had, they were working from home and struggling to even answer our questions. Nobody knew what was going on. But we had to find retro content. Like, it wasn't the fanciest of drive-ins, but it did the job. We learned a lot about how to use the FM transmitter to do audio. Mm-hmm. That was not in our skill set before. We played a lot of the different DVDs because you can't play through the satellite content outside. Okay. So we had to kind of manipulate the tech to work.
And the one thing that I really was in excited about was the fact that you got an independent filmmaker from the area show one of his independent films at a drive-in. He was excited to have it at a drive-in. It's a horror movie. So it had to be at a drive-in. And he was excited about that. So
that was one of our busiest nights, actually.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I think it was that night, and then we did a Betsy Reed movie.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Those were the two busiest nights. So it wasn't the retro content people wanted to see. I mean, I get it. You want to stay home and not pay $5 to watch it. Makes sense, especially when it's a little bit of a risk to go out at the time. And but for the new content, even though it's, you know, independent filmmaker or just local play, things like that, people were really interested in coming out and seeing that stuff. So that was neat. We get able to do that.
And that's the idea of a theater. You go see something that you've never seen before.
Right.
And yeah, I could see how the retro content, they're like, I can get that on Netflix. And
yeah.
So it's like, no, you still don't have the experience of a drive-in. So
yeah.
That's the best part.
If nothing else, you get theater popcorn.
Right.
Like, that's what drives me every time.
Exactly.
That's what I had for lunch yesterday. It never stops me.
I stopped at a couple of your Saturday concessions to get a big bag of popcorn to take home. Because I was missing it.
I know, it's bad.
Gil and I were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. I had an opportunity to go see Mortal Kombat at Eagle. Mm. And it was one of the first times I'd gone to see a movie since really the pandemic broke wide. I think I got to see Tenet before things got re-shut down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, but he was asking me, how was Mortal Kombat? And I said, you know, the movie was okay. But it was an opportunity to be back in the theater with a way too big bucket of popcorn and a giant soda, as it should be when you go to see a movie.
Yes. And then the other thing, I just love hearing other people's reactions to things. So like for me, Mortal Kombat, I don't know anything about it. It's more my husband's movie. It's fine. I'll go watch anything. But, you know, I was sitting there like, I don't understand what's happening. I'm like, oh, it's just really action filled and gory. Cool. Okay, that's fine. But like hearing other people's reactions, like when they get excited or when something's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I like hearing that. Like that's the whole thing for me. Like besides popcorn, I can't turn that down. But like just every movie, it's different with every crowd. Like you can watch the same movie three times with three different audiences and have a completely different experience.
Well, that's probably a unique perspective that you have, being that you are there at the theater so much and kind of able to poke your head in. And if you've seen it once, then you know the best times to poke your head in to get the best reaction.
Yeah, you can hear, like, if you're in when I'm in the office, I can hear the music at certain points in a certain auditorium. Like, oh, I got to go check this part out. This is the best part. Or getting, like, just really into the song for the credits, even, like, just, we're a little weird about that. We get attached.
Well, I've talked before on the podcast that one of the things I tend to worry, I worry about myself sometimes, because I will be in a theater with other people watching a movie that I shouldn't be laughing at. I remember going to see the most recent Rambo movie.
Yes.
And it's a Rambo movie, and it is bloody and gory, and some dude is just getting eviscerated.
Yeah.
And I am laughing my ass off. And then I turn around to see people, I think, probably judging me a little, because I'm a little bit of a psychopath.
Well, I feel like if you're going to Rambo, you have to know.
Right.
Like, and if you don't by now, like, get on board. Because, well, I went with my husband. Again, I haven't seen the first Rambos. It's just, I go watch anything. I didn't know any of the background. He's sitting there like, holy shit, that guy's head just blew up or whatever. And I'm just like, oh my, what is going on? Like, two very different reactions right next to each other.
Well, for me, I got since we're talking about these moments, it was when during the Kingsman movie.
Oh God, yes.
And the church scene where he's blasting people away and they're playing Freebird.
Yes.
I'm cracking up this whole time. Each person that gets killed a different way. One guy gets a crucifix through his throat and all this stuff, and I'm like, I'm just cracking up. And after that scene was over, I looked around. I'm like, was I the only one laughing? Oh, no. They're getting killed, but I was laughing. And yeah. So, yeah. That's what movie theaters are good for, though.
Well, yes, and I think, exactly. I
think, as you mentioned, you go into these movies, you have to have a certain level of realistic expectations. Gil asked me what I thought of Mortal Kombat, and I said it was fine. It was good for what it was.
Yeah.
It's a movie based on a side-scrolling video game from, like, the late 80s, early 90s or whatever. It was fun. And yeah, it was 2 hours of noshing on popcorn, drinking soda, and turning my
reality.
Brain off.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's the thing with movies also. That's like the Godzilla Kong movie. When it came out, I missed it for some reason. I was wanting to go see it with Isaac. I know that. But he'd already seen it. And I'm like, well, I'll go see it. But I missed it. And you guys, it was already gone.
Yeah.
And it was my fault. But I'm like, I can't watch that anywhere else. You know,
no.
Someone said you can watch that on HBO Max or something like that. I'm like,
it's not
no,
the same.
No, you need that huge freaking screen to swallow you.
Right. Yes.
It's like, there's no way other to see
it. And that one just visually, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, there's just a lot going on. I don't even want to ruin it for you, but there's a lot going on there. You need to watch that one.
Well,
on the
I've seen a lot of people say that they are waiting for the 30-minute cut of Godzilla versus Kong, where they cut out all of the stupid people stuff.
just
give me Godzilla and King Kong getting the crap out of each other for like 30 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, I'd watch that too. That's fine.
I'd pay to go see that.
Exactly.
See if they'll release it from the studios.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys bring it back, let me know so I can go.
Hey, there will be a lull, I'm sure. Once everyone quits releasing everything at the same time over the summer,
mm-hmm.
come, you know, like August, September, when it's usually dead, we'll need some fillers.
So how's it looking for the movies for this season coming up? Does it look like you're going to get some new releases?
Yeah, so
good?
The schedule, we just got a tentative schedule released, and there's actually something on the calendar almost every week that's a new release that I care about, which is, you know, wrong. But so anytime there's a wide release is what we try to see, because we are smaller, so we don't always get the little independent things.
Right.
But Cruella and Quiet Place helped out a ton.
Mm-hmm.
We are working on getting In the Heights. It may not be on the release date because we actually have run out of screens now, because you have to have each movie for so many weeks per studio requirements, and they do weekend numbers, and whatever has the lowest number is what gets kicked out.
Okay.
So those are still doing well, which is great, but they can't leave to make room for In the Heights yet.
Well, and I think that's too a great thing to touch on for our listeners. Talk just a little bit about that, about the process, because again, you guys aren't the ones making those decisions. Ultimately,
no.
It's not like Kelsa goes, well, I want to see the new Marvel movie, so screw it. That's the one we're putting on.
Yeah.
I mean, you are being dictated to by studios, and then they have specific rules. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So every weekend, so Friday through Sunday, every day typically, our numbers get reported to the studios so they can take a percentage of their tickets and all of that fun stuff. And then those numbers get reported into like a summary that goes to our film booker. So we have 5 screens, and I think Wrath of Man is what did the lowest numbers this weekend. It's been out for several weeks, and it's past its, you know, 2-week minimum or 4-week minimum, whatever they had, and it's been the lowest. So it's getting replaced with Peter Rabbit 2. And so it's all based on numbers for the most part of like, okay, this movie was number 1. It's definitely staying. This movie was number 2 in admission, so it's staying. And then 4 and 5 are usually like fighting for, okay, depends how many weeks it's been here versus how many dollars it did and what's coming out, how many screens we can replace it with. That's why sometimes we end up splitting screens, like 2 movies on 1 screen, because they're both contractually obligated to play another week. But they both did kind of bad.
Oh.
And so
I've been curious about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes we'll have 6 movies and the schedule gets a little bit weird. But that's about why. It's just based on the numbers it did the weekend before and then what's coming out and what studios are requiring us to play certain things. So we have different contracts with Lionsgate versus Disney. And like some are more likely to give us their content than others based on comparable pictures. Mm-hmm. There's lots of it's basically statistical.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem.
I failed that class, by the way. Just want you to know.
Yeah, I don't think I did that great either.
And one of the issues, too, is that all of the studios have their own rules.
Yes.
You know, so it's not a universal thing. So you can't say, whether we get a movie, and at this point, Disney owns pretty much everything, everything that we love anyway. Disney owns it. But it's not as though you can say, well, the rules for Sony are this, the rules for whatever are that. They're very different depending on the studio, depending on the movie itself.
Yeah, like Sony specifically has a different policy on free tickets. So when we have movies that say no passes per studio policy, it's usually a Sony movie. They are more likely to charge us fees for letting in free admissions. It has to be a certain percentage of admissions or under. So it just gets really complicated as a small theater to make sure we stay under that, especially since we do so many promos, which we love to do, but it just makes it a little bit funky with Sony. Whereas Disney, I love them to bits and pieces as a consumer, but as an exhibitor, they're a lot to handle. I know for the new Star Wars movies, they've said they have to play in your biggest theater for 4 weeks minimum. You can only do this, this, and this, and they'll send people to check and make sure it's the picture they want. Like, it's a whole thing.
Well, actually, you know, it's funny when the Eagle first opened here in town, I was a mystery shopper for, things. And then it wasn't quite mystery shopping, but I'd come in and I'd do the counts for the studios. Yeah. And I remember they had me count and or tell what trailers are played.
Yeah.
I had to keep track of people that came in at the beginning of the movie. I had to keep track of the people at the end of the movie. And I'm like, that's a lot of work. I wonder if the theater really knows what I'm doing here. Because I'd have to check in with you guys and get the numbers from you and to make sure they verified with what I counted. And they always counted, by the way, whenever I did it. I was lazy is what it was. I wasn't helping you guys. Yeah. I was lazy.
Well, in the beginning, too, I mean, we didn't, you know, when you start a theater, you don't know what all you're signing up for, too. So, you know, I worked there since I was 17 or 16. I'm 30 now. So it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it is.
And not until after 5 or 6 years did I realize what even the ticket counting was. They would always come and say clipboard. They're like, "Oh, I'm from the studio." I'm like, "Okay,
yeah,
whatever you tell me, I'm sure is correct." Which is, looking back, I'm like, "Oh, someone probably should have verified something." But we were all really young and we didn't know. We're like, "Oh, if they send someone, it must be important."
Yep.
But they just report, and then we get emails weekly about, hey, we want this specific trailer on this. And sometimes they'll say it has to be in a specific order or this specific version of the trailer. Don't play an outdated one. So with COVID, too, we've been having to go through and delete so much content from our satellite hard drive of, okay, there's the wrong dates on this. This has no date. This isn't coming out anymore. It's been weird. Wow. So we've been actually sitting and just playing an hour of trailers at a time and verifying, is this trailer correct? Because they haven't really released what they should be named just yet. So it's getting to normal, but the last couple months have been really weird getting on track.
Well, that actually reminds me. I went and saw Mortal Kombat, and one of the ones my son actually gave me a hard time for, because it's a commercial that I voiced for the Eagle Theater buckets, the annual bucket.
Oh, I know.
And it's the 2020 bucket. And he looks over and goes, you should probably redo that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I looked at it once in March and I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing. But with reopening everything, I was like, okay, it's moving down at the bottom of the priority scale. It's like, guys, we're still here, it's 2021, but it keeps me entertained at least until we fix it.
Exactly.
And that's another thing. I always love watching the local commercials before the trailers ever start. I love sitting down. In fact, my wife thinks I'm weird because I show up 15 minutes before even the showtime just so I can sit there and watch the local commercials and so I can hear Tony's voice.
Sure, that's
magic.
Worth the price of admission.
That's right there. It's like, I'm done after that. After your commercial runs, I'm out.
That's the real show.
That and the quizzes. Who doesn't love the movie quizzes?
Well, and I go to the movies enough that I know the answers to all of the questions. Whether I knew them or not, I know them now. So when I go with people who, I look really smart. How did you know that? I'm a genius. Not that I was just here yesterday. And
no, you would never. We don't see you almost every day out there.
Not at all.
Yeah, in fact, now I love also, let's talk about this too, during COVID, I mean, there was one good thing that definitely came out. You guys got to remodel.
Yes.
And
that was nice.
Comfy seats now.
I know, it's so good. And, I'm such a nerd about it though too, because the first thought, okay, we're shutting down. We had just emptied out a theater. We're like, well, crap, we don't even know if we can keep putting in seats because we don't know what the financial situation is. I mean, we got there eventually, but it was a minute there where it was questionable. But my first thought was, these are going to be so much easier to clean. I can wipe these down like with COVID. Yeah. I was like, this is really perfect timing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's been one really, really nice thing.
Yeah, because you had the cloth seats before. Yes. And I'm not saying they were uncomfortable, but they were movie theater seats. You don't expect
Well, now that you felt these, it's like, oh, yeah, what was that garbage?
Right? Exactly.
Like, those were some 17-year-old chairs that just needed to go. We did what we could with them, but they had their lifespan.
I know in the lobby of the theater, you guys had some of the seats from the old theater. And in fact, in all of the auditoriums, the very front row was seats, and they were just literally solid wood, folded down. So the ones you had were very comfortable compared to those.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones you've got now are amazing compared to the ones you started out with.
So. Well, Eric said he wanted them for historical purposes, but sometimes I think it was just a, let me remind you how much worse it could be.
Yeah, probably.
No, but the new ones are great. We've got the recliners and the sliders and the rockers. So even the rockers are great, and they're like the low end. But
I will say this. I absolutely love the recliners, but I'm glad you guys didn't have them a few years ago because several years ago, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, which is why I was having a hard time staying awake during movies.
Yeah.
If we'd have had these comfy-ass recliners at that point, I wouldn't have made it through a single movie. My son and I, when we went to see Mortal Kombat, we had a chance to sit in those recliners. And, so comfortable.
So nice.
So comfortable. And,
the cup holders are the right size, too.
I know.
The cup holders
Your
are
cup
the right
fits
size.
In every cup holder now. It's so, like, the little things. I'm like, this is so luxurious. I can put my cup anywhere now.
And they're at the right position so that they don't rub up against your leg and they don't sweat on your leg. It's just...
Or, you didn't love that?
No. Nah.
In my case, the straw didn't go in your armpit. That's what I hated. I'm like, what the heck? Oh.
My wife always looked at me funny when I created we used to call it buffer seat.
Yeah.
You know, like when Logan and I would go, he sits here, there's an empty seat, and then I sit.
Yeah.
That way we can feel comfortable. We're not crowded, and I can put my cup over here.
You got armrests on both sides. Yeah. You're good.
But now with the new seats.
Everybody's got armrests.
We don't need a buffer seat. The seats are the buffers.
So. Well, if you want to get real cozy, those rocker seats, you can put the armrest up.
Can I bring a blanket?
Yeah.
Okay.
People do. I don't judge. I keep one in my office, so if I'm just in the office, I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to go watch that. I'm going to go. I'll just take my blanket with me.
Blanket.
I probably look insane if people don't know my face. Just walking down, like walking from the office, grab a blanket, walk back out. Like, what is that person doing?
I'll remember that. I'll come strolling in with my BiPAP machine and a little battery pack. Don't mind me. I'm just going to go see a movie.
You can always borrow my blanket. It's in the office. You know where to find it.
Well, also, I could just picture this now. The next phase of Kelsa's career is going from the office to the theater, but a bunch of cats are going to follow her, too.
Oh, I would love that.
Around you.
You know, we do have a bunch of theater cats, and we've started naming them. And I have one at my house. It's terrible. But, yeah, no, we have a problem. We all love cats there. So if it's not too far off, I would believe it.
All right. Well, I might see that someday. Because I just pictured you wrapped in a blanket and a whole bunch of cats following you, and you're oh, no. Well, now it might be a good thing.
Yeah. We're just giving him a good time, you know?
Well, when Shanna Alexander worked there, she brought her dog with her.
Yeah.
And he came. I remember coming to the theater once, and I heard a dog bark from inside of the building. I'm going, have I gone crazy? No, we have a theater dog.
Yeah. I've brought mine a few times. He's a lot smaller, and his bark is more of a yip. But, he loves people too much, so he just wants to jump all over everybody. Well,
I have a Siberian Husky at home, and I wouldn't bring him into public because he likes to love a lot hard. And sometimes rather invasively.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, kind of the broad strokes of some of the things that you guys are looking at moving into in the future. And I know when I say you guys, obviously, we're talking about Eagle Theater, but also the theater industry as a whole has really had to find a way to get people back. You know, you have so many streaming services, the Disney Pluses and the HBO Maxes of the world and stuff like that. You've got to find new ways to entice people to come to the theater. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So with COVID, streaming has been intensified. So now a lot of studios are releasing their new content at the same time on streaming services as in theaters. Which kind of stinks, but for people who appreciate the cinema environment, they understand that's where you watch it first, and then if you want to see it again, you take it home once it's gone. But for a lot of theaters, we were small enough, we were able to just kind of pivot as much as possible, like the drive-in, the curbside, things like that. So now that there's just so much streaming, people are used to being at home, things like that, we're looking at doing something more like entertainment center so that it's not just movies. We were looking at some axe throwing. We were looking at escape rooms, adding beer and wine. Two of our theaters already have beer and wine. Robinson's the only location that does not have it at this time.
Don't mix the beer and wine with the axe throwing. Just warning.
I know. That was my first thought. I was like, "This really? That's where we want to go? Put them right next to each other?" No. So I'm sure the insurance will go up a little. But yeah, no, I'm not sure the logistics on it yet, but it's definitely casting a wider net to see what makes sense for a small town, be more of an entertainment center than just a screening room.
Well, I got to be honest. When Eagle Theater first opened up, one of the things that I was really thrilled about, and early on talking to Eric, about the theater, I was amazed that we were getting 5 screens.
Yeah.
I thought, oh man, we're getting a theater. We'll be lucky if we get 1 or 2 screens. That's going to be awesome. You know, Eric explained that the logistics kind of dictate that 5 screens is ultimately more profitable than 1 or 2 screens because you can kind of diversify your offerings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This seems like just an extension of that idea, just trying to diversify your offerings.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, sometimes during the year we'll have, you know, 4 R-rated movies just because that's what's out and there's nothing really for kids. And so if we can kind of push them into something more like, okay, maybe this is a season for them to do some escape rooms and have some kid themed escape rooms instead. And we usually just call it like counter programming when it's different, different movies. So it's just a different form of counter programming and diversifying everything.
And that's one thing I know the Eagle's really been good at is that keeping the whole family involved. And I don't know, again, how the other theaters, I have yet to been able to get the chance to visit some of those other theaters you guys own.
A trip.
But I think so. I definitely, especially Clinton, they got that really cool hotel or motel up there. I want to try
My wife
out.
And I have been talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got themed rooms.
Yeah, they got themed rooms.
Yeah.
There's a space-themed one, I think.
Well, there was heavy debate on whether or not we were going to, you know, do a space theme or Wild West or whatever.
Oh, there's a bunch. They're all fabulous.
So that's the reason enough to do a road trip to the Clinton Eagle. So. But no, the aspect of it is that you guys have always, ever since you've been open here in this town, has catered to the families.
Yeah.
And there, like you said, there's times when, well, all that's out is a R-rated movie. But you guys have always managed to find or get a hold of an older film just to bring it in, just to make that, just to make sure the kids have something. Well, and even more so in the family, you guys have the summer children's series that you do every year. With the exception of last year, but
That was the first year that we hadn't done it. It was so quiet. Like, we're used to, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's like chaos. I mean, it's fun chaos, but it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, anytime you say free for kids, it's going to be chaos.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's great. And, when we were scheduling it again, like there, you know, normally what we do is pull all the biggest kids movies from the prior year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2020 was a hot mess. So I was like, I don't know what we're going to play. And studios still hadn't released much yet. So, but you know, when you have to plan it so far in advance. So the lineup's a little bit different than usual, but it's things that I think someone will find something they like. Everyone will find something that they like.
And it's a great thing for the weekday during the summer when the kids, you know, they're not at school. They're, you know, mom and dad are going nuts. Mom and dad, take them to a movie for free, you know?
Yeah, just pop them down. We're good. Give them a 525 kids combo. They get drink, popcorn, free refills, entertained for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I know when it first started, it was just a single day, right? It was one day, and then daycares kind of caught wind of it. And then you thought, well, damn, now we got to add another day because the crowds were filling up very fast.
Yeah. Well, and in the beginning, too, when we were film, you could only, you know, we'd only have one print of the film or a DVD if we were real fancy. And there was a way to play it through 2 at once, but it was risky. I've broken it many times. The interlock system is not my friend. But when we switched to digital, one of the nice things we can do is we can play it on all 5 auditoriums at once. So when digital was installed in 2012, we were able to expand it up into all 5 theaters at the same time, spread people out a little bit more, and get a little bit busier.
Right. Well, I didn't even think of that because when I first started going to the Eagle Theater way back when.
Back in 2004.
I had a young child. I took him to a couple of those. And I remember remarking, I'm like, man, I think I'll just take him to a regular show because kids are noisy. Yeah. But that's where the kids are having fun. So there was nothing negative towards that.
Yeah, it's just part of it.
It's part of it. And
well,
so
again, it's like you just have to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
If you're going to something called the Free Summer Kids Movie Series, you got to know the kids are going to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'd go into the theater, and it's like one theater at the time when you guys started, and I'm like, man, it filled up fast.
Yeah.
And especially, like you said, daycare, I remember one of them bringing a bus full of kids. I'm like, oh. And then I noticed that it went to 2 days, but I didn't know you could do the multiple theater thing now.
Yeah.
Now I was like, well, now I wish I had a kid.
Hey, you can come. I won't stop you. People bring multiple kids. You're like, that one's mine. I'll borrow you.
I do have grandkids.
That's right.
There you go.
Ooh. That's right.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that. Obviously, we've touched on it a little bit, but just the technology of how you guys get your movies, how you screen your movies has changed dramatically over the last several years.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So when I first started, we were doing film. So when the film would be shipped and it would be in the multiple reels, that's having flashbacks now, carrying it up the stairs. I was not a very big high school.
Weren't they like octagonal containers?
Sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes it'd be two boxes and there'd be like four or five reels per thing. And they would have on the end, the end of each reel was what they called a head and a tail. So you know which end was the front, which end was the back. And there was a strip on the side that was the sound that the laser would read. So you had to line everything up and literally just tape it together. Mm-hmm. I mean, specific film tape and all of that, but you'd have to cut the heads and the tails off, splice it all together, and then put it through the projector and watch it, make sure you didn't do anything wrong. And and like film, you can't like pause and rewind. So if you messed up the first reel backwards, upside down, whatever, you got to sit there and watch the rest of it until you can restart it and put it back together. So then when you have to return it, the films, you have to cut where you taped, put the heads and tails back on, roll them back up, and mail them off. And they would go on to another theater.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes as projectionists, we'd be like, I'm really sorry. There's a real big scratch about the fourth reel in. I'm sorry. So we had little notes in between.
You ever get a phone call from a theater further down the line going, why is this hour and a half movie only 45 minutes?
Not quite that bad.
Where's the other chunk? We're missing the whole third act.
Technicolor might call us on that, but there've been a couple. Or when the it's called projector eating it. Goes wrong and it just bunches up, lights on fire. It's fine. It's not nearly as dangerous as it used to be. It's like, oh, it went on fire and melted. Okay. And then just cut that part out, put it back together. It's fine. Digital, totally different. So we got that installed in 2012. And now even that's changed since then. So originally they would send, these hard drives, I don't know, maybe 8 inches by 6 inches hard drive. And you would, basically just use a USB cord and plug it into the projector, download the content, and then you'd have to build the movie, which really just means tell it on the computer what time the lights go up, what time the lights go down, what trailers, all that fun stuff. But now we felt really fancy. We got a satellite upgrade. So now the content is all satellite based. So we just go upstairs to our server, open the satellite folder, say Cruella's there, and we just paste it onto our actual.
Oh, wow.
It's all just computer based, which is really nice. We still have to build it and everything and schedule it. But it's a lot easier than having to physically be there to plug it in, put it in each auditorium. So from the computer now, I can sit there and say, okay, I want Cruella in theaters 1, 2, 3, and 4 and do it all at once.
Mm.
And it only takes about 2 hours usually, so.
Which beats the hell out of the full 8-hour day that to cut together one move, lug them up the stairs, cut together.
Take it up, tape it together, and then take it apart. And you'd have to wait till the movie was done being played and stay late after hours because you'd have to get it shipped out before the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
They used to even put locks on the film canisters.
Mm-hmm.
So now with the digital, they do a digital key. Where it's called a KDM, and it says, okay, you can't play Cruella until 12:01 a.m. Thursday. So once that happens, you can verify that the content works, make sure everything's good.
Oh, wow.
Digital, we haven't had many issues, knock on wood, with that kind of thing. But we like to preview just because we enjoy movies.
Oh, well, yeah.
So we're out there watching everything all the time. But we're like, okay, what time is that one valid? What time can we watch that tonight? Is that a morning movie? Is that a night movie? But with the film, with the lock on it, there were a couple times it was big releases. I think it was Batman. We were awful. We like definitely broke the lock off that one. We want to watch it right now. And since it was all physical, they couldn't do anything about
right,
it.
Right, right. There's no detecting it. Well, I know. I remember when I first set up the podcast and first had said I was going to do movie reviews. I contacted again Shanna, and I guess Eric was there a lot of the times too back in the day. And I'd talk to them, and I said, well, anytime you guys are going to actually screen the film for you guys, rather than me coming in and you know, taking up someone's seat that could be paying for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me know when you're screening.
You know, to Eric's heart.
Yeah, exactly. and so and they said, oh, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And then I got a call one time from Shanna. Okay, about 1 o'clock in the morning, we're going to screen. I'm like, yeah, no. I'm busy at that time.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing with COVID that's been really weird. So, like, we reduced our hours by a ton just because there wasn't a lot of content. Mm-hmm. Minimum wage went up. Like, it's all just a lot going on. And mm-hmm. so we had such reduced hours. We were like, oh, we're closing at like 8:30 at night. We can watch movies at like 9 o'clock now. We've been spoiled. And like, this is our first week of summer hours. And now we're like, oh man, we got to wait till like 11 o'clock to start stuff again. Like, oh, I forgot what this is like. Yeah. So well, it's just different.
It's a struggle.
Yeah. First world problem.
Yeah. The older I get, the more inclined I am to do a morning preview than the midnight previews, which, oh.
Well, you know, they were fun during our glory days.
My son tells me how old I am because I go to bed at like 8 o'clock. If you had to get up at 3 a.m., you'd go to bed at 8 o'clock too.
Yeah.
I'll sit and play video games all night.
I can't hang.
No, for now.
Right.
For now.
For now. He'll get to that age.
Give it 20 or 30 years and get back to me.
Oh, man. So, all right. Now, let me ask, again, you've had the theater or the drive-in theater mm-hmm. over the summer. And you had, and again, we talked about Jed Bryan's film. You had to play that. Is there any future that you might in the future that you might look at independent? We could show that, you know.
Yeah. So actually, I'm trying to think how to phrase this because I don't know all the details.
Right.
I get like third hand information until it's relevant. So I'm gonna try. Our film booker, his name is Buck. He is part of a distribution company. I think for Eddie Murphy's cousin, something like that.
Oh, wow.
It's something cool enough.
Right.
Like, oh, I feel connected.
Right, right.
But they are doing a lot more independent type movies. And since he's been our film booker for 17 years, we kind of have an in with him where he's like, I would love to be able to put these on your guys' screen, especially, you know, when there's lulls in the schedule. Like, I think that could be fun. So it's definitely on the radar of things we want to do. And especially if anybody approaches us locally, too, we're always like, yeah, whatever we can do. We've done a few little things, but we've tried to do like an event of it
mm-hmm.
just because of studio regulations.
Right. Yeah.
Occupying a screen for a week at a time is a little weird.
Well, and remember, it's been a few years now, but you guys even actually had an independent film festival.
Yes.
For like sometime during the summer, I think it was. And,
yeah.
You showed for like a week, like 4 or 5 films that you wouldn't see anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and there was one I remember seeing, and I'll never forget this film. It starred the guy from Harry Potter.
I was just going to say, this is the one I will never forget.
Where he's a dead corpse the whole
yes.
movie?
Yes.
Yes. I'm like, I would never see it, but you guys did it. I'm like, okay, I want to go see it. Hey, this guy play Harry Potter. I'll go see this movie.
Yeah.
I have never laughed so much at that film. And every chance I get to find, I find that film now.
Were you laughing because it was supposed to be funny
actually,
or because you're a little twisted?
Well, maybe.
A little bit of both, I think.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Well, but there was one running gag in it where every time they touched the dead corpse's body, he'd fart.
Yeah.
And actually, that's what powered. And never mind. I'm like, you got to watch the movie.
I was going to say, that was the most Swiss Army Man, I think.
Swiss Army Man. That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. That's the farting thing. Yeah, you had to crack up.
Well, the farting was the propelling for him going across a body of water, if
right,
I remember correctly.
Right.
And that was when I just lost it. I was
right?
like, this is one of the most beautiful masterpieces I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Like this fart scene. Why? But yeah, I love independent movies like that.
Well,
yeah.
And that's how something becomes a cult classic.
Yeah.
You know, how many movies do we all watch on a regular basis now? But when they first hit theaters, everybody was like, oh my God, I can't. This is ridiculous. Uh-huh. And now they've become, you know, Elf.
Yeah. Right.
Has become a holiday classic gets showed even on network television over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
So does that mean there's promise for Cats, the movie?
Oh, God. Before we shut down last year, this is horrible. So that was one of the last things that was playing before we shut down. And the entire staff hadn't really seen it. We were like, oh, my God, what is this? Like, we've heard it. We kind of pop in. We're like, what is this? You know, all the stuff surrounding it anyway. And so then we got shut down. We couldn't do anything. We're like, well, we don't know what's going on. Let's just have a staff movie night. We all stayed and watched Cats. And we were all like, why did we do this to ourselves?
No.
And everyone thought, if that's the last movie I watch in theaters, I'm going to be real upset.
Which version did you have? Did you have the retouched version where they had to take out buttholes and stuff?
I don't even remember, because it was there was just so much that I couldn't stop looking at that I don't even remember what was going on with that specific detail. Like there's a lot.
And you know, I think Hamilton proved that you can make a movie based on a stage production.
Yes.
And you don't have to make it weird.
Yeah, you don't have
and
to do
Cats
the whole thing.
Just made it weird.
Bulges and buttholes.
Everywhere. And then, like, the whole scale of everything. Like, there were times where the cats were, like, miniature, and they were massive. I was like, what is going on? Nothing made sense.
Well, see, I saw the Broadway production of Cats, the touring Broadway production, and it wasn't weird.
Yeah, they made it real weird on film.
Yeah.
So, well, but there's a promise for it. So now that it's horrible, it might have cult.
And it probably will. There'll be a group of people who go, this is funny. We're going to get together and watch this every year just because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really think the next time you guys do a staff movie screening or movie party, you need to watch Cats again. You guys take the lead on this and make it a cult classic.
We'll just start it here.
Yeah.
But we have started watching The Room every year.
Oh.
Also. What? I don't even have any words.
Tommy Wiseau. Well, here's a little, since you're already working with Eddie Murphy's brothers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Six degrees
of separation.
Yeah, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is going on there. Well, here's even closer to Kevin Bacon. Jed Bryan, you know, we interviewed him. He's Unlisted Owner film. He's got several films out there, by the way. Anyway, while he was pitching Unlisted Owner out in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
he met Tommy. Tommy had his own room going, and he was promoting his films. And Jed played catch with Tommy Wiseau.
Oh.
So, and now that I know Jed, I'm like 1 degree away from Tommy. So, like, oh hi.
Hi, Mark.
I really think we need to see about getting a screening of 10/31. Part 3.
Ooh, since it was filmed here at WTYE.
Here at Eagle, because there is a trailer mm-hmm. within 10/31, which is a movie produced by the former drummer for Evanescence.
Okay.
And a trailer was filmed here at the station, in part here at the station. And Jed Bryan is hoping to be able to make that a full-length feature film.
Yeah.
So
hit me up. We'll find a way.
That's always the good thing. Is independent theaters. Independent movie makers, that should be a match made in heaven.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Right,
we're Facebook friends now, so I keep track of his stuff. I'm like, would that work for here? Would that work for there?
Right?
I'm watching from a distance.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't come out and play a zombie when they filmed it here. You would have been a good zombie.
I'm not that brave. I probably would scare myself. But it was bad if I was like, oh, I'm not into like scary movies at all. And I was like, so I'll go to Unlisted Owner. It's probably fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Until the end.
I know, until it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, the end of the movie is the scariest part of that movie, I think. Well, it's a found footage film,
right.
So you got.
Yeah.
But they get to the end, and you're like, "Oh my god!" And then it's over, and you got to clean your pants. So.
Yeah, I was like, just leave me like that. Oh, okay, I guess right. I'm leaving.
All right. Good feeling gone.
Yeah, go back into the empty theater now and clean everything up. That was reassuring. Thank
dark.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll do some talking then. So, but anyway, all right. Let's see here. Well, I guess we've covered COVID. Now, what do you got coming up this year? Let me preface that. You did the film festival,
yes.
The one year, or actually did that a couple of years, I believe. Then now you've also shown Rocky Horror on Halloween a couple times.
Yes.
Any plans for any of that kind of stuff this year?
There's always a plan for it. It just depends when the studios change their mind again.
Oh, okay.
The last couple of years they've restricted access to Rocky Horror.
Aw.
Which is weird. So we try to find something for the fall that's a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
If it's independent movies or the Rocky Horror or just some kind of anything to just be different. But with studios being a little bit different this year, we'll see what we can come up with. I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Well, and again, I think that's one of the great things that that you guys have going for you above the bigger AMCs and things like that mm-hmm. is because you can kind of, as you've mentioned, stay flexible, be able to pivot and do things like a Christmas movie series,
yes.
You know, that time of year when movie attendance is down because the big producers aren't putting out movies. The studios aren't releasing new content as much certain times of years, and you guys are able to really be different.
Well, wait, I got to ask before you go. Christmas movie, does that mean they can show Die Hard?
Yes. I tried. Okay. I tried. They restricted it last year. So last year was the year of, you know what? I'm just going to try everything I've wanted to try. What are they going to say? No, it's COVID. What's happening? But I tried Die Hard. They restricted that. They wouldn't let me have it. But that's why we do
a
lot
Christmas
of stuff.
Movie.
That's what I said. They weren't having it. But that's why we do like things like the free Lorax showing in the spring, the Christmas series, the free kids series, just trying to give you something year-round to look forward to besides blockbusters.
And we talked about it earlier that Eagle Theater has always had an eye on doing stuff for the family. And one of the things that I love that you guys do regularly is you have the sensory-friendly showings.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Of even some of the big first-run movies.
Yeah, we try to do a Saturday morning so it's not as overwhelming. The lights are brighter. The sound is dimmer, or the sound is lower. And if it's only a couple people in there, we kind of make sure it makes sense for them. Or even with kids series, since we can play it in all five theaters now, if there's someone who has something specific that they would like to do and request it, we can usually accommodate to make that happen since we have the space and we're able to do that.
Now, explain a little more of the sensory friendly. You said, like you said, the lights are brighter, the sound is dimmer. What's the target audience for that? So the people in the podcast know.
Yeah, and it's really anyone. Anyone who doesn't like to be in larger crowds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's bringing a kid to a first movie. Sometimes it's more on the autistic spectrum. It's open to anyone. But again, going in with the expectation that it's going to be different than a regular showing, it's going to be a little bit more flexible. If you want to get up and walk around because you have sensory issues, that's something we're not going to deter. If you need to talk or if you need to just have something louder or quieter for sensory overload type of things, we accommodate as best we can to make sure that everyone is able to watch things that you need to watch in a theater.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. You have to, there's so many movies that you have to see in a theater. And if you have, like, on the autism scale, or maybe, there's some people that just, you know, they don't like people.
Yeah.
You know?
COVID's COVID's kind of broken me. I'm like, I don't want to go back to this. I love it sometimes, but I'm like, okay, I just watch this one alone.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like you guys have that flexibility to do it. And the families, again, not knowing what's going to happen, they know what a regular movie's like. They know it's loud. They know it's going to be explosions. But, or, you know, it's like you're giving them the chance. Hey, you got to see it. You got to experience a movie the right way. And it's okay. Yeah, you may turn the sound down a little bit, but it's as close to the right way as they're comfortable with.
Right.
So I love that. When I first heard you guys doing that, I'm like, wow, they're really.
Yeah, and we have such an amazing staff that will just go out of their way during a regular show, what we can do, that will come in specific for sensory shows. We've even had a couple people approach us and said, you know, I have this medical issue and I'm not comfortable being in the theater on a Friday night, but it's not a kids movie I want to watch. It's an R-rated thing. And we're like, okay, well, let's just schedule a date and our staff will come in. And we just have such amazing staff that is willing to do that with all our customers. So I appreciate them.
That's one thing. Yeah, I can definitely say that as the years going, you guys have always had a great staff and I've never had a complaint with any of the staff members. Yeah. Of course, I'm not a Karen. I don't complain much anyway, but
I'd say you guys are both pretty easy to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm there to have a good time. And if I got my soda and my popcorn and literally I've been there before where, you know, as you mentioned, the projector ate the film.
Yeah. Got a little hungry.
You know, you go, oh, wait a minute. We need to move you guys to this theater across the hall because this projector did something weird. And, you know, and it's never been an issue. And I'm there to have a good time. And we go, all right, let's do it.
Well, I'll never forget this. There was one time I decided to buy a big, huge bucket. My son and I were going to share it. We're going to have popcorn. And we're going to just make sure. And we had it sitting in between us. And about a quarter of the way through the show, right towards the beginning, actually, and I dumped the popcorn right there on the floor. And I'm like, ugh. So I went up, and we were the only ones in the theater, which I was thankful for that.
Yeah.
I went up, and I said, can I get a refill? Because you guys have free refills.
Yeah.
And they said, you ate that already? I think it was Sabrina that was there. And she goes, you
ate
that already?
It's always Sabrina for you.
Yeah. She seems to be there for me. And I said, I'm sorry, but I created a huge mess. She goes, we'll get it afterwards. And nobody, it's not like, so it was all, No, we got it.
Take well, care. And even if that's what they were thinking,
oh, we would never say it to you. Right. We'll say it once you leave. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. They probably do.
A lot of times, too, people spill everywhere. Like, we're used to it. It's like confetti around there. So, like, people will dump it before they even walk away from the counter. And my immediate response is, that's what free refills are for. We got it. Oh, nice. It's not like we have a shortage on that. We're good. So, I mean, I'd rather clean up popcorn than a drink, but it happens either way.
Well, before we wrap things up here for this edition of the podcast, talk a little bit about the community. I know with things like the Free Summer Kids movie series, there's always a huge number of area businesses that
yes.
step up and help to sponsor those types of events.
Yes. Just even the last couple of years, we've had so much community outreach. I mean, the theater wouldn't have been possible without the community, first of all, because we had local investors help when banks were like, you're not going to make a 5-screen theater here. I'm like, oh, yes, we are. We're stubborn. So we had help from the very beginning. To get the seats, we had donations from the community. We had donations from local businesses. Right now, we were working on a display wall for all the seat donations. It got kind of stopped during COVID, but I got all the parts ordered now, so there should be a new wall in the next few weeks of recognizing everyone who donated, which is amazing to get those seats in. Mm-hmm. And then we even just had our recent Kickstarter campaign, and we had some businesses donate. We had individuals donate, working on that big celebration. Looking at July 17th, tentatively. So we've just always had so much community support, especially with COVID. People have been really awesome. And people don't usually think like, oh, you're going to tip when you go to curbside concessions. But everyone was so sweet. They helped our employees so much by tipping because, you know, we can only staff them for 2 hours at a time. Mm. People didn't have a lot to go off of. And we just appreciated every little penny that came through, whether it was for the staff, whether it was for the building. People would just donate a 10 and say, hope you can stay open. Like, just the sweetness of it. And
well, it's one of the things that you guys did when COVID first broke was had a bit of a sale on gift cards.
Yes.
And I felt like a hero because I was able to, I went and bought a gift card and I'm still carrying it around, you know, a year and a half later after buying it. And you know, it was, I felt like it was a small donation, but it was a way for me to say, man, I love having this theater in town, and I hope that they are able to weather the storm.
Yes, there was a lot of any little bit to help keep the lights on at a certain point after it had been, okay, open and then shut down, open and then shut down. So, because the bills didn't stop, that was the thing.
Right.
So there was a little bit of leeway, but we have applied for some disaster loans and some grants and things like that. We're just waiting to hear back, but none of this would have been possible reopening the doors this year if we hadn't had a community support from individuals and businesses alike.
Well, and like we've said before, everybody who's listening, no matter whether it's an Eagle Theater or some other independently run theater, get out there and support your independent, your local businesses.
Now, once again, we want to also reiterate Eagle Theater, they're worldwide. Okay. Midwest wide,
Illinois wide,
and Missouri. You got one in Warrenton. There's an Eagle Theater.
They actually didn't weather the storm as well.
Oh, didn't they?
No.
Oh, that's sad to hear. All right, so you got.
So we're down to one state again.
Down to Illinois again. So it's like Clinton, Robinson. Hold on, where's the other one? I was going to say Warrenton, but that was no longer there. Gosh, what is the other?
Do you want the answer?
It starts with an S. Streeter.
Uh-huh. There you go.
There we go. I had to do the whole thing in my head. And
well, it's working through a lot of residue, so you're fine.
So, gotta work it out.
But anywhere in Illinois, you're going to be near an Eagle Theater. Head to one of them, and I highly recommend the Robinson Eagle Theater because, well, Kelso works there for one thing.
Yeah, I'm a delight.
And for the rest of it, it's really, and it's very, now, especially with the chairs, it's luxurious.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's very nice now. So
I'll take breaks in there now that I just can sit in there.
I don't blame you a bit. If we had a recliner in here, I'd be hitting it too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, find the Eagle Theater somewhere. You can find them online, eagletheater.net. Find one close to you. And I'm sad to hear about Warrenton, but again, COVID happened. So can't always rescue everybody.
Yeah, they're in the works of if they can, they will. But their owners are also in other industries at the same time, and it wasn't their priority. So we did what we could to help them, and if they decide they want to reopen, we're there for them.
That's cool. That's
very cool.
But so check these guys out. Eagletheater.net, that's their website. If nothing else, just send them a note saying, hey, heard you on the podcast. That's really cool. Thanks, Kelso. I want to come see you now.
Yeah, come visit. I'm there.
That'll help Gil and I a lot. That way, when we go, hey, can we come see a movie? Kelso's more apt to go, sure. Yes. We heard from somebody who actually listened to us.
So. It's real. It's not just for fun.
That's right.
Well, no, it's just for fun. Real's a different story.
Tried to help you out.
Nah, we admit it. So, all right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap up another episode of the podcast. Kelsa, thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Coming in and sharing everything.
Oh, yes.
And again, we'll be back in the theaters. Tony and I have already been back. I went and saw Nobody, by the way. That was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I love that. Well, first,
did you laugh through that one, too?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so did I.
Yes.
Again, like a psychopath.
And I took my whole family to that one, and I'm the only one laughing, and they're like looking at me funny. But...
That's one that Bob Odenkirk was the ass kicker, right? It was like Bob Odenkirk and John Wick and sort of. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But my fellow SIU alum, Bob Odenkirk, I need to say.
Oh,
so,
all right. Yeah.
We both went to SIU.
He likes to name drop as much as he can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what President Obama told me. You know? Anyway, well, I guess we should end things now. So,
yeah.
All right. So that wraps it up for another Nerd Up podcast. I'm Gil T. Wilson.
I'm Tony Collins.
And like we say at the end of every episode, stay nerdy.
Sticks in concert. August 19th in Evansville. Classic Hits WTYE wants to send you to the show. Be listening weekdays from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. When you hear a Styx song, call in and get registered. Then, every Friday in July, be listening to see if your name is drawn. If you win, you get two tickets to see Styx in concert August 19th in Evansville. From Classic Hits 101.7 WTYE. Come on, Monica, to Mr. Roboto.